Finance Committee is now in session. May I please have an acceptance, a motion for the acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on December 2nd, 2024?
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. First on the docket is PCR 120-24, resolution relative to bids. May I please have a motion for acceptance of the minutes for the meeting held on December 2nd, 2024?
So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you so much. Item number one, bid 2024-322, City Hall Plaza Site Improvements. Good evening, Director. Please identify.
Hi, Tom Kravitz, City Planning Director.
Thank you.
So before you have the change order, which effectively covers two underground unforeseen storage tanks and associated contaminated soils that had to be removed from the site, which cost just under $144,000. And so the reason we're asking for a little bit extra is to cover any other more minor unforeseen changes that are associated with the site or the building, so we don't have to keep coming back to the council. So with staff, we talked about it, and it was agreed that we should ask for an even 200. And if you remember, with ARPA funds for this project, there was an additional $400,000 plus initially budgeted for the project. But the bids came in so low that we're still in a great shape. But this 200 hopefully will get us through the entire project. Happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director. So I'll start at the committee. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Okay, thank you. Are there any questions? Council President McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, Director.
Hi.
Director, can you speak to that this was, going in originally, you knew that these tests were going to be done and that this process was going to play out. Can you just speak to that? I know some people were concerned. They thought that this was an unexpected.
Yeah, anytime you're dealing with urban fill, like with these redevelopments, even under a paved parking lot, there are some contaminants associated with the pavement in past years. And we suspected there might be some soil that would have to be tested. To the extent the soil would be removed, you can't foresee exactly how much, but these two tanks were interesting because we found documentation that said the tanks were removed in the 80s, and we found a plan that stated that, and even a DEM correspondence that said that. So we were a little surprised by the tanks. And that's just something we wouldn't have anticipated they'd be there, you know? So.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to find, right?
Especially when you have documentation saying it's been removed.
Exactly. Yeah. That goes back. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman Foley.
Just based on what you just said and, you know, anticipating certain things and not, is the timeline changed on completion of the project?
No, we're really looking to complete it this upcoming fall. Initially, they had tried to really accelerate the project by pouring the concrete associated with the rink itself much earlier, like a couple months ago. But that delay that we had with the tanks compressed that time frame because the concrete has to be kept at a certain temperature. And Bentley was so confident they had even offered to encapsulate and keep warm with temporary heating devices that area that they would pour. Because if they could get a jump on that, then they would have just finished the project sooner, perhaps in the spring. But it didn't happen. And we thought, out of caution, let's just, you know, stick with the original schedule.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Gephardt? Okay, thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisaur.
Hello, Director.
Hi.
So it troubles me that this is just coming before us now for this additional 200,000 because of the surprise with the tanks. I don't understand why this was such a shock to anyone. In the back of that building forever was the repair shop, if you will, for fire department, for police department, for DPW. And it was well known that tanks were there. So here we are now in the 11th hour, again, telling the city council that you have to appropriate this extra 200,000 because of unknowns. And if you don't, then this whole thing could shift over to Davis-Bacon Act. That bothers me, that here we are in the 11th hour. So I'm just gonna read some dates through for you here. On April 12th, the mayor signed the approved bid. The tanks were discovered on June 18th. The RFT was sent to Bader in the city to provide the direction on how to proceed on June 18th. Bader supplied Bentley with a copy of the DEM UST disclosure application to be filled out by Clean Harbor on June 24th. The quote from Clam Harbor to do the work was received on 6/27. Bentley sent back a completed application to Bader in the city for submission DEM on June 28th. A change order issued by Skirka to remove the tanks was issued on July 2nd. The city requested Bentley to issue a check to DEM for the application on July 10th. August 20th and 21st, the tanks were removed. Bentley produced a PCO number 002 for X dollars and cents for doing some of this work. There was no date on that, at least the one that I have in my binder. They also produced a PCO number 006 for an additional 26,000 and change on September 25th. And this goes on and on. So what is disturbing to me is here we are in the 11th hour bringing this to the attention of the city council. And why wasn't this disclosed long ago? And the other issue that I have a question with is the charge of $91,000 for contaminated soil, I believe is what it states, when DEM says there was no contaminated soil. And I have an email as of today, or received today, that states the lab results for the soil samples were below DEM standards. Contaminated soil was not encountered as part of the UST closure work. So that begs the question, why did the tanks even need to be removed if they were, in fact, decommissioned back in the day and filled with sand? And if there was no contaminated soil, then why are we being charged, excuse me, $91,000 for removing it? And if you can just kind of keep those questions running, because I know I'm running out of time here, but I wanted to also ask a question. On the chain of custody. So we have a chain of custody report in our binders. And it's on page 14 of 14 of the report that goes along from Bentley. And in the chain of custody, it has a collection date initially of 3/20/24. Again, on 3/20/24. And then looks like 3/21. And then again on 3/20. Those were scratched out and the dates were changed to 8/20/24 and 8/21/24. And I'm wondering why those dates were changed.
I'm looking in the binder. Is it PDF page 14? Or
it's part of the report. It's a 14-page report that starts with it's Clam Harbor's report, and it's a 14-page report. Clam Harbor issued this 14-page document on June 27th.
Right, on the city's website, I see.
Part of it.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that was issued on August 26th. And August 26th document is where that actual chain of custody is.
While I'm scanning for it, I'm not seeing where the dates have changed on the website, but
Chairman, may I approach?
Yes, but I also have a question, Councilman, just for clarification what you're saying. When you say page 14, you don't mean page 14 from the binder?
No, sir.
Yeah.
Page 14 of the Clam Harbor report.
Got it. From where it went from page 26. 1 to page 4. Got it. Okay, thank you. Yes, Miss. Yes, Councilman. Thank you.
I don't know why those are scratched out. I know that there are dates at which they collect the data. There are, but part of the first answer I wanted to give you might relate to some of this is the time that it takes to do it. I don't know. I'll look at it after, though. There were multiple sets of soils tests taken, and the first round associated with the tanks did have to be removed off-site. And the second more recent round of testing that they did in the vicinity of the building did not have show exceedances. So we can utilize that recycled material on site. But to do these tests, you know, everything works in government in a week or two. Oh, we'll get the test taken, then we'll get them to a lab, get those results done, get them back. And that definitely causes a delay. I wouldn't say it's a delay. It's the way government just seems to work when you have multiple consultants and state agencies reviewing tests, and it doesn't happen as quickly as we'd all like. That, I think, has something to do with the timing, why it takes so long from the initial test. But I guess to answer the other concern, we were surprised by the tanks only because we had documentation that says the tanks were removed. these particular two tanks, at least. And the reason they had to come out is because when you're, you know, excavating a site and putting in drainage and you have to compact it, you can't have stuff like that in the way. So it's just, you want to get proper compaction uniform over the whole parking lot so you don't have issues with sinkholes or things later. So that's why they definitely had to be removed. But as to those two dates canceled, I don't know why, but I can certainly look into that and see. I'm sure it was an administrative reason for it, related to maybe the lab tests and when they were actually brought to Johnston. It, to your point, too, about the 91,000, when you, how this works, when you deliver to the landfill, we were carrying so much of a quantity, hundreds of cubic yards, and similar in the notion to how we're asking for 200,000 versus 144,000, when you go to Johnston, we essentially paid for extra because it was potentially extra soil that we knew would have to go. If it doesn't go, they credit us back. So we're going to be getting money credited back from those deliveries to the landfill. And Bentley is, we're all on the same page with it. We know now that we can utilize the remaining soils on site. We are going to get money back for that.
But in these documents, I believe we have an invoice for $91,000 that speaks to contaminated soil.
Correct.
That's what I don't understand. How can they charge us $91,000 for contaminated soil when DEM, from their staff person on site during this process, said there was no contaminated soil?
Because that... you're referring to a later test. It was definitely $91,000 worth of contaminated soil we had to remove.
And do you have the actual invoices that document that?
They should be in this documentation here.
And if I may, can you pause that, please? Thank you. If I may, I just to catch everyone up and my colleagues and the public, within the bid package, this bid goes from page 1 to 47 in the packet. Clean Harbors, which the councilman is referencing, the Clean Harbors report and invoice goes from page 22 to page 35 in the finance packet. And then their sub identified as pages 1 through 14, and that's only identifying Clean Harbors. Thank you.
Okay, I have it. I have it here, Director. So on this one document coming from you, it says $91,493.09, PCO number 008, disposal of contaminated soils. But yet, DEM said there is no contaminated soils. And as I look at this PCCO number 8, that's something that it just says disposal of soil, transport, trucking, town of Johnston fee, state fee. And it has an application package. It has hauling, it has allowance draw for 91,000 change. So in this PCCO, am I missing or not seeing something in here that it says that it was for contaminated soil?
Yeah, you must be, because we hauled contaminated soil off the site.
Excuse me, Councilman. So the councilman reached the 10-minute mark. However, Councilman, what we'll do is I will ask the committee for an extended amount of time.
Thank you.
But what I would like to do is just see if there's any follow-up questions that the committee has, or I'm sorry, committee and council have, and then I'll go back to you or I'll put that motion forward.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any follow-up questions for members of the council? May I have a motion, entertain if anyone has a motion to offer Councilman Lattiser more time?
So moved.
With how much time would you like?
Five minutes.
5 minutes.
I second.
We have a motion for an extension of 5 minutes for Councilman Lattiser on this topic. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Councilman, you have the floor.
Thank you. I don't see it, Director. I don't see in PCCO number 8 where it says contaminated soil. Matter of fact, it says Beta took additional soil samples of the remaining areas on site, and Bentley was advised the results came back clean. Prior to that, it says was halted at the direction of the city on 9/13. Beta was instructed by the city to engage LSP to review options to keep soil on site and remove and dispose.
Yeah, it's on page on the city's website. It's on in the bid spec. It's on page PDF page 44 of 108. That's we have PCCO number 8. That's where that begins with Bentley talking about the disposal of contaminated soils.
Yeah, I see what the title says. The title says disposal of contaminated soils, and it's calling for an allowance draw. But where right. in the report, or where is there an invoice from wherever this was disposed of indicating that it was contaminated soil?
Oh, we can get the trucking slips. Yeah, we can. I'm sure I can track those down if they weren't submitted in here.
Shouldn't you already have them? If we're paying $91,000 for disposal of contaminated soil, I mean, I would think that you would have those documents already.
The slips with soil, it was treated as solid waste.
$115 a ton. The chief of staff points out on page 48 of 108, you have the profile reports. Which also talk about the soils being disposed of as solid waste. And those are dated 11/7, it looks like. And 11/6. Right, it looks like there's multiple tickets in the columns where it says ticket, date, truck, and the bill in units is in tons. I think this effectively at least shows you how many trucks and how many trips they made and what was delivered.
Yeah, I believe I've seen that, but I don't see where it has any evidence of contaminated soil.
Councilman.
Oh, sorry. Bill Facenti, Chief of Staff. So how it works with resource recovery, dealing with other projects with resource recovery, they have... Soil can be used as either cap material for the landfill, or it's determined to be solid waste. It can't be used as landfill cap. It goes in as anything like trash and everything else. The levels of contamination were not great enough to bring it to New Jersey or Pennsylvania or lock it on a mountain in Utah, but they were enough that we could not use it as cap material. It doesn't tell you how contaminated the soil is. except in the ESS assessment, they did some soil testing, and you'll see that in the file. I don't know what page it's on. Looking at Tom's computer. One second. There is material tests on ESS laboratory. It tells you on page 35 of 108, it gives you the chemical, the contaminant, the parts per million, parts per gram, kilowatt, kilogram, whatever the weight is. It has that information on it. That's from the test results on page 35 of 108. And then Skirka is a subcontractor. Their invoice is in for the actual trucking of the material to the landfill. And then Rhode Island Resource Recovery directly bills Bentley Construction for the cost.
Those charges are not what I'm asking about. The issue of the contaminated soil that you're saying in Texas and Massachusetts and wherever. Here is the exact wording from DEM that I received today.
So where are you reading that?
Where am I reading it?
Yeah,
on this report, right here.
Is it in the binder?
No.
Okay.
This is information that was sent to me today.
So is that from additional testing that the soil is now clean, or is that the original testing from the testing company? Because DEM did not test the soil.
This says...
Councilman, I have a follow-up question. Was that shared with members of the committee?
No. No.
Solicitor? Oh. Did he head out? The question I have, Councilman, I just want to let you know what I'm going to seek, is we make an effort to share all information that have to do with bids. And I understand you received that email, but we don't have the information to review it, therefore to validate it or to even review it, question it. So
do you think we should hold this then?
No, I do not. This is something that I think I wish was shared instead of being dropped on this council now.
Well, due to the fact that I got it late this afternoon, unfortunately it didn't get shared, but it doesn't change the fact of what it says.
So I'm going to ask that you hold on that, because I'm going to wait for the solicitor, because I as the chairman, I don't feel it should be read into record as we are unaware of it, and it's not included in the docket, and we weren't given enough time, and the public wasn't given enough time to review it. So I don't think it should be allowed to be shared.
What right do you have to prevent me from reading something into the record?
Well, as the chairman of the committee that is responsible for approving the expenditures, and you're saying you're providing information that no one has a copy of, I don't feel comfortable with that.
Well, I can't help the fact that you didn't want to check into this, chairman.
You have
the same
absolutely
opportunity
right.
You to check into it.
You
the
can
same
email.
As I did.
You may email okay. Who you wish, councilman, but. I just want to say that we, as a committee, go out of our way to share information when the information comes before us, and we try to do it in a timely fashion so that all evidence and everything can be heard instead of just dropped over here.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon me, so Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Lattiser, you still have 49 seconds left on your timer. Councilman Sinapi has his hand up. Mm-hmm. Do you mind referring to letting him answer?
That's fine.
Thank you. Councilman Sinapi.
So, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like the potential concern is that the soil was not in fact contaminated, and therefore we'll be getting charged more than we should. But according to the PCCO number 8 that was provided to the city, the soil was in fact contaminated. We have an agreement with Bentley Builders LLC that I'm confident in saying, among other things, includes that the vendor will not fraudulently present an invoice to the city. So holding this doesn't really make sense to me, because if we prove it and it turns out it was based on fraud, we have ample means of recovery. to put it mildly. So it's certainly worth the city checking into to determine whether or not fraud was indeed present. Absolutely. I certainly would love to see the document that Councilman Latisher's reading off of for future purposes, but for the purposes of tonight, holding or turning it down doesn't seem like it does much good for anyone. Although bringing it to the city's attention certainly is a worthy cause, absolutely.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Latisher, I'm just gonna ask that you hold off on reading that. Councilwoman Travis, did you put your, oh, I'm sorry. Council President McAllister.
Mr. Chairman, our solicitor is abstaining from this this item. So just, we won't be able to get a response at this time from the solicitor on this particular item.
So Mr. Chairman, how about if we leave it like this? I have the email. I'll be happy to share it with the chief of staff. You're welcome to look at it if you'd like. And I ask that the administration circle back with DEM to confirm whether or not there was any contaminated soil or not. I just don't want to see us paying for something that we shouldn't be paying for.
Agreed. Understood. Going on the comments also from Councilman Sinapi, does that sound agreeable to the city?
That's fine. I haven't seen that document. The planning director hasn't
Thank
seen
you.
That document.
So Councilman Latisher, if you don't mind sharing that with the city clerk or the council liaison, she'll share it with the rest of the council in the city. That's absolutely
sure.
Fine. Thank you, sir. Please continue. You still have time left.
So with regard to the $200,000, the planning director has indicated that the bid was $484,000, round numbers, $484,000 under budget. We have $144,000 bill, which, as I understand, director, there has been some direction to pay this, but that still leaves a $340,000 cushion in this bid. So I don't understand why the need is for an additional $200,000 and then unless there's another surprise coming down the road. Because quite frankly, these tanks, or at least the suspicion of these tanks and contaminated soil, given the years of history of that operating as a garage, that isn't something that should have been any surprise to anyone.
So I don't know if the director Kravitz wants to answer or not. So the city utilized in the bid, there were allowances, owner's allowances, that the city utilized to pay for the invoices from Bentley and Skirka. That depleted or brought down our allowances for future issues that may arise. This $200,000 that we're asking for is to replenish the cushion in case something else happens. If nothing else happens, the money will not be spent. So it's a cushion in once. So just so you know, these are ARPA funds. ARPA funds and community planning funds, economic development initiative funds, also known as earmark funds, do not trigger prevailing wage. This was bid out a non-prevailing wage job. If the city puts in one penny of city funds, the entire project becomes prevailing wage. Just so you know.
I know, that was
Thank you.
That was my point at the beginning of
right.
Just bringing this to us now, as opposed to in June or July or August when this
So the dollar amounts weren't known until late October, beginning of November, when we got the slips. And we missed the deadlines for the council dockets.
Councilman, I'm gonna interject for 1 second. Your time is over. I'd like to ask if there are any follow-up questions from members of the council, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Chief. On that last point, considering that it would be ARPA funds that would be allocated here and the deadlines and the various requirements involved in ARPA funds, would there be any risk that if too much were appropriated at this time in ARPA funds that we would not be able to then reallocate those ARPA funds for other purposes?
So the funds have to be committed to projects by December 31st. These will be committed under an RFP, or I'm sorry, under a PO requisition. After the funds are not expended or expended, I'm not sure. I'd have to ask the finance director what exactly happens to those funds.
That would be helpful, because unless there's a way to commit the same funds to two different purposes, that gets into, I think, an issue of if we don't spend all of the funds, ARPA funds, for that specific purpose, whatever that purpose may be defined as, then if we're finding out about that after December 31st, we might end up having to return those particular funds. So I suppose what I'm suggesting is, if there is a way that we can commit any additional funds in a very broad manner, in a way that we know that they will in fact be spent, and not only spent, but of course spent in a good, efficient way that's really going to benefit the city and the people here in Warwick, then it gets a little bit tricky for us to justify putting more in as a cushion. I can also understand the need to have a little bit of a cushion here to make sure that if it's otherwise city money that's being put in, and we wind up having to spend extra and then go over a tipping point where we then end up spending a lot more than is actually needed otherwise, if not for that cushion. Well, I guess my question there is there any other way for us to have a cushion, whether it's through ARPA funds with a broad type of commitment or some other method, to make sure that we're not going to accidentally overcommit on ARPA funds in a way that we wouldn't be able to actually spend them effectively here?
None that I'm aware of. We can't do broad commitments. It has to be under a purchase order. So
that's what I thought. So is there any, I suppose, if you could walk us through the justification of exactly how we're choosing this particular amount as the cushion, as opposed to a higher amount or lower amount, and if there is any potential alternative, whether it's, say, even private donations or revenue from outside sources or anything else that might be able to provide us any cushion here without necessarily needing to overcommit on ARPA funds at this time for the sake of a cushion.
Just as a point of order, are we straying from the agenda topic of this bid? I know the solicitor isn't here, but someone should at least mention this, because I don't know how this relates to the bid anymore from the purposes of HOMA. It seems like it makes sense, don't get me wrong, from a general topic, something that we should consider, but I'm not sure if we can consider it as part of this bid.
Councilman Ricks, would you like to justify or redirect your question?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Through the chair, to Councilman Snappy, I believe that this is all directly relating to the bid, because part of the topic of the bid is the total spending authority, and this relates directly to the total spending authority authorized here as opposed to a lower amount.
So in clarification, Councilman, you're saying that this relates to the question that Councilman Lattiser brought up, where he said, or I should say the Chief of Staff brought up, where he said that if we end up spending any of the further funds, then we required the wages.
Exactly. And if I may just add very briefly, I apologize for being late to the meeting. I was stuck in behind a traffic accident right outside City Hall.
No worries. No worries at all.
I did listen to the entire meeting on my on my phone before I walked into the room. So
certainly, no worries. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Director, do you have any follow-up?
Well, just to answer the initial question, how we came to that amount, it's about 56,000 from 144 to, you know, the even 200. We, we're past, we feel, the items that could be change orders that are high-cost items, you know, having to do with the site work. Now that that's behind us and we're working off the specific building, we just don't expect the change orders to be that much. And we know we're potentially getting a credit back from the soils that we didn't have to transport. So just in working with my staff, we felt that this was sufficient.
Thank you. Thank you. I know that, is there any further questions from members of this council? I know that Councilman Lattiser was going to make a request. I'd like to respectfully wait for Councilman Gebhardt to come back before I put forward a request for a motion that Councilman Lattiser asked for an extension of time.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I don't need any additional time. I would like to request a PCR on this, please.
Yes, sir. Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR on bid 2024-322?
PCR 12124.
Thank you.
You said the PC, could you please repeat that? Thank you. For the record, bid 2024-322 City Hall Plaza Site Improvements is now at the request of Councilman Lattiser, PCR 121-24. Are there any, Council President? Yes, sir. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public?
Good evening.
Hold on one moment. He's just going to turn that on. And any questions that come before this committee will go through the chair to the members of the council, and the council will, the members of the, not the council, the members of the city will then, the administration will answer through the chair and answer the question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Michelle Comar. I couldn't really get a lot of information out of what was available online that I receive from the clerk's office on the distribution list for this bid. So I did my own research and went to DEM, because when a underground storage tank is removed, there are certain procedures that DEM requires. One is to do a report at the end. And Clean Harbors did a underground storage tank removal assessment report in September of 2024. All this work was done in August, the physical work. The closure report came afterwards in September. So I wanted to read the closure report because that's the boom bang final outcome of the project. And Clean Harbors report was electronically submitted to DEM on September 20th, and it's available on their website, and that's where I got my information from. And they say on page 5 of their report that they, I'm just going to paraphrase this because it's a long paragraph, that they took the bottom soil samples from under the storage tanks, and the samples were analyzed using this method, and all results were non-detect, and the detection limits were sufficiently low to allow comparison to the DEM reportable concentrations. So a summary of the chemical test results provided in this table 2, conservatively compared to the results of the DEM soil residential criteria, and no exceedances, here's the punchline, no exceedances were evident. So based upon the work, no further investigations or remediation is necessary. So that closed out the report. DEM is happy. I did contact the DEM project manager, and she emailed me back a couple times to answer my questions so I could understand. And she too says in her email to me today, I'll pull that up, excuse me. That this is Ms. Jillian Thompson. She was the DM inspector for the tank closure. The two tanks in question were removed on these two dates in August by Clean Harbors. Clean Harbors also provided the environmental consulting services for the project and completed the field screening environmental testing for the soils. Their closure assessment report, which I just read you the punchline on page 5, was submitted electronically on September 20th. The lab results for the soil samples were below DEM standards for contaminated soil was not encountered as part of the underground storage tank closure work. And this is the extent of her involvement on the site. So she gives the website for me to go to DM and read the closure reports. And this project's closed out as far as DM's concerned. And there's no contaminated soil. So I didn't understand that 91,000 line item for contaminated soil, since neither the consultant, Clean Harbors, nor DM reports contaminated soils. There should be no cushion needed. The closure report is done. DM is happy. And actually, as a taxpayer, I'd like to see this additional money request actually based on invoices, because this work was done, completed back in August, September, the closure report. There's no other work. We know exactly what this is going to cost because the work's already done. So if the council doesn't use actual real-time invoices, I think we need a physical note. APRA money is taxpayer money. It's not free money. It's taxpayer money. And I'm sorry to see the council backed up against the wall with the deadline to use the remaining money. This should have been well thought of and planned. The work was being done out here in August, and we knew what we were encountering in August. So I'd like to see actual invoice, real-time expenses put in here instead of guesstimates and cushions. There is no need for cushions. The project is closed. DM is satisfied. And so are the consultants. They did their job. There was sand in the tanks reported by the consultant. I don't know if that sand was reused on the site because it wasn't contaminated. So that would be beneficial to use for fill on the site or for drainage or whatever purposes you might need. So I like the plant director to explain the three numbers that came up to 143,000, of which you want to bump that up as a cushion for some unknown reason to 200,000. Those numbers didn't make sense, and that's why I researched at DEM and talked to the project manager or emailed the project manager at DEM. So there's three numbers, three categories you give, the last one being 91,000 for disposal of contaminated soils, which we can't, I can't find reports of any.
So Ms. Comer, you'd like him to answer that question now?
Yes, and I would appreciate, like, you would find valuable these reports that are available on DEM's website. It'd be nice to have them in the package for you so you don't have to spend time sorting this out, because that's what I did today. I just said, I don't understand this. I want to see it for myself. I'm sure you want to see it for yourself. And it's there at DEM. Why the department, planning department, didn't put this package together so it makes a nice, neat story for you, I don't know. It would have helped everyone.
Thank you. So, Director Kravitz, you ready to answer that question?
Yeah, I want to first, though, explain, it's pretty clear that I think there's a misconception about the soil that was removed from the site and the tanks themselves. The contaminated soil was not related to the removal of the tanks. So I just wanted to make sure that that's understood. And as for the fees, the UST removals, the 26,000, 26,124, that of course is to remove each tank, which they did over two successive days with DEM oversight of that process, and the additional 91,000 covers the cost to get the material delivered to Johnston, And as I said before, we feel that the additional cushion is the most responsible way to use taxpayer money, because to not do so, we're going to let our ARPA funds be obligated to something else, as Councilman Rick said, and we're going to be only increasing the probability that we are paying Davis-Bacon wages on this project, and that's going to add 25% to 30% to the whole project cost. So we thought it was prudent use of taxpayer money to try to secure the additional 56,000 of ARPA funds on a $6 million project.
Thank you for that answer. I still have an issue about the surprise. When you're dealing with, and this is my last point, when you're dealing with buying property, starting a project, you do your due diligence. And one thing that we know the city requests, even of the land trust or if we're going to acquire property, is a phase one site assessment. And that's just basically research. Was this site used for as a garage, a gas station? Those uses that would trigger a site two investigation, which is actual soil testing. And you're saying that the contaminated soils were not part of this underground storage tank removal. They were somewhere on site. Due diligence would be that you hire a consultant to do a phase one. Obvious, this was a garage, so that's clear cut. Phase two, testing. And this would, should not have been a surprise if there was contaminated soil somewhere else besides underneath the tanks. So I was going to ask, were the consultants' contracts, did the city require a consultant at any phase, any one of the consultants to do a phase one, a phase two site assessment for the project?
Director Kravitz.
Yeah, no, we utilized Beta, who's representing the city's interest in the project. And there are two approaches. We're doing the other approach would be what we're doing with Mickey Stevens, and we're 4 years into that testing effort now, which has just concluded. So we elected to do kind of the live load on-site testing in cooperation with DEM, which they'll work with us. We did another round of soils tests to characterize the entire site. That came back clean, and now we can continue moving the project on schedule to hopefully have it done from beginning bid to opening within 2 years.
Excuse me, Chair, is this Mickey Stevens? Because that's not the topic of this bid.
I use Mickey Stevens as another example of a way to do it if you want to do the testing up front. And it is a very elaborate process at DEM to do that. We elected to do it this way to because it's the quickest way to do it.
Thank you, Director. Ms. Comer, respectfully, you have 1 minute.
I understand that.
Thank you.
I think due diligence is due for all projects that involve taxpayers' money, whether it be APRA money, some kind of other grant. It's all taxpayer money. And I don't think that was really done efficiently on this project. And I hope another project runs more smoothly than this small project right in our backyard, because this was not done in a timely manner. And you guys are put up against the wall to vote tonight, use it or lose it money. And no cushion is needed. That project is closed. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, comments from members of the public on bid 2024-322, now PCR 121-24? Thank you. This is now a PCR. I will ask the committee for a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
I have a motion. I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is bid 2025-274, DBW exterior building improvements to the Pilgrim Center. Good evening, Director. Please identify. You have the floor.
Good evening. Eric Earls, Public Works. DPW recommends award to Mill City Construction in the amount of $112,463. To address deficiencies, the masonry, gutter system, and flashing at the Pilgrim Senior Center. You may recall I was here over a year ago asking for funds to do a building assessment of the Pilgrim Senior Center. That was concluded earlier this year. The results of that indicated that these repairs are the priority. So that's why we put a bid together based on the recommendations in that report, and that's why we're here today asking for this funding for this work.
Thank you, Director. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Good evening, Director.
Hello.
I want to say it was last meeting or the meeting prior, we were talking about windows in the upstairs in the dining area. It was also mentioned that there was broken windows in the lower area. Is remediating those part of this?
That is not part of this package, no.
Okay. That'll happen as a follow-on or still contemplating?
It could. Those deficiencies weren't referenced as a high priority in the assessment report. The issues that they're having right now with what we're trying to address is significant water intrusion into the building. So that's what we really want to get at. Some of the windows may need to be repaired, but they don't represent the same kind of urgency.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any questions for members of this council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Some of these photos, I would encourage members of the public to check out these photos. What's characterized as organic growth is not pretty. So I will say that while I'm disappointed that the Pilgrim Senior Center got to this condition in the first place, considering it's just not that old building, I certainly fully support whatever is necessary to make sure that it's fully repaired and that these conditions are being addressed. I'll reserve my time. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Hi, Director.
Hello.
When will these repairs, assuming that this passes, when do you plan on beginning these repairs, given, you know, the winter situation that we have?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this work is temperature sensitive, but we would certainly work with the vendor on the schedule, maybe some of the flashing work they could do. But, you know, when you start talking about working with masonry products, you know, freezing temperatures are a hindrance. So we understand we want to get them out there ASAP. But we would certainly work with them on the best course of action with regard to the schedule.
Yeah, I would certainly concur with holding off on pointing and grouting and that sort of thing with the winter weather, but I was just curious to what your plan was. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any further questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2025-287, GTAC F110 tablets and vehicle mounting hardware. Good evening, Major. You have the floor after you identify.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department went out to bid for GTAC F110 tablets and associated vehicle mounting hardware. The department received four bids and recommends a contract be awarded to SciTech and Island Tech Services. The department is requesting spending authorization in the amount of $70,000 for the one-year bid. If approved, funding would be allocated from the police computers budget 30-231. And if I can take this quick opportunity to thank the outgoing council members, President McAllister, Councilwoman Travis, and Councilman Howen McElroy for their service to the city government and your constituents.
Thank you so much, Major. On a personal level, thank you. Are there any questions, comments from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. Good evening, Major.
Good evening.
Major, I just want to, for the record, get clarification on Island Tech Services bid. So they have their price per unit of $25.95, and then the price per 10, they carried it over as $25.95 instead of times 10. So that should be $25,950, $28,950, et cetera, down the list. Correct?
Right, right. Yeah, some of them, this bid, it does, I see this every year, they do tend to, some carry it over and multiply by 10, others just carry over the individual price.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page with that we're not going to be expecting to get 10 of them for $2,595.
Although that would be nice.
It would be. Yeah. That was all. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions from members of this council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
Next will be DBW. This is bid 2025-276, furnish and install a 38-kilowatt generator at the Warwick Animal Shelter. This is found on page 53. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Eric Earls, Public Works. Public Works is recommending award to K Electric in the amount of $66,250, one-time purchase for the emergency generator at the animal shelter.
Thank you, Director. And if I understand it correctly, this will so that on real hot days or on real cold days or just to keep operations going, because you know we understand what the shelter does. I think we're all very aware of the great resource that shelter is. This is a safety factor for all the living species in that shelter.
Yeah, absolutely. This type of thing is long overdue. You know, if there's any power outage, there's no way to control. Obviously, electricity is out, so mm-hmm. temperature controls are out. It just creates a hazardous situation, and this would obviously remedy that.
Thank you so much. Are there any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattisor.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a comment. I had an opportunity to visit the animal shelter about a year ago, and I'm happy to see that we're going to be putting some money into that building. Definitely can use some attention, and this certainly is a great place to do this with this generator, so I'm happy to support this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Next is bid 2025-313, Barracuda Backup Maintenance. Now I can't get the song out of my head. Director, it's your microphone. Please identify.
Hi, Phil Carlucci, IT Director. This is a request to award the licensing support and maintenance for our Barracuda backup appliance and cloud subscription to Visual Edge IT in the amount of $57,608.57. Visual Edge is currently our assigned channel partner from Barracuda. This represents an approximate 11% reduction from last year's cost. I was able to negotiate with them based on what we just did with the email appliance, moving it to the cloud for the email storage and archiving. And also, Visual Edge has a cybersecurity arm. And knowing that we have a lot of federal funding available for cybersecurity, they were enticed to play nice, I guess. So they were able to reduce the price by about 11%.
Thank you, Director. Any questions from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you, Director. We have come to the point of the...
Councilman?
Oh, I apologize.
I believe there was a...
Oh, I apologize. Go ahead. Councilman-elect Muto, please. You please use a microphone, Councilman. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Please identify, and then you may proceed through the chair.
Sure. My name is Bill Muto, council-elect. Question.
Yes, sir.
Just real simple. Overall, nice job when it comes to the technology with the city hall and all the other processes. Question on the bids or the folks that actually bid for us. Do we have any Rhode Island or Warwick companies that are on our bid list that we consider?
For this particular item, Barracuda assigns us a channel partner. We can petition them to change. Barracuda, to the best of my knowledge, does not have a channel partner, certainly not in Warwick. I'm not sure, but I don't believe they have one in Rhode Island. I believe Connecticut and Massachusetts. Whenever we do go out to bid for something that is wide open, we always give preference. There's a point system. We give preference to anything in Warwick. And just for our own sanity, we try to stay centric to Rhode Island. If we have to, we like to go to Eastern Connecticut or Southern Massachusetts.
I just wanted to make sure we were trying to use our Warwick and Rhode Island partners. Second question, and it's really not about the Barracuda backup.
If you don't mind speaking into the microphone, Councilman-elect.
When it comes to the Barracuda backup software, is that a managed services or a software?
It's neither. It's an appliance with firmware on it, so there's a software component, but it's actually an appliance for a local storage, and then there's a cloud storage, not to talk geek speak, but it goes into an air gap backup in the cloud,
okay,
just in case of a cyber attack.
All right, that was my final question is cyber. We've all been experiencing it, unfortunately. Is there a plan, or you mentioned a plan about increasing our cyber security?
Our cyber, don't want to go off topic. Nope. If I can sort of,
nope. Okay.
Just very quickly, we have a cybersecurity posture plan. This year's funding, we have, I sit on a committee for the state with that federal funding. So we're trying to leverage the federal funding for this budget cycle, but we have several projects as soon as FEMA approves them.
All right. Thank you.
Well done. Well done, Director. Thank you. All right. We have come to the end. No, just double check. Since we had a question from, that was a member of the public. Are there any further questions from members of the public? Thank you. We've come to the end of the items that are above the $50,000 threshold. We now come to the rest of the bid package, where I will go to members of this committee, to members of the council, to members of the public. If there is an item that you would like to have pulled for discussion out of the bid package, please identify it. So I'll begin at the committee side. Any item? Thank you so much. Is there anything from the council that they would like? Councilman Ricks.
I'd request bid 2025-289 furniture for the Pilgrim Senior Center.
Thank you, Councilman. To be, you requested 2025-289, item number 6, Senior Services Furniture of the Warwick Pilgrim Senior Center. That's found on 61, correct? Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Are there any other items members of the council that would like to pull and discuss? Are there any items from the bid package that members of the public would like to discuss? Are there any items from the bid package that members of the public would like to discuss? Thank you. So then we'll go right to you, Councilman Ricks. What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the director to come up. Please identify, and then I'll give it right to Councilman Ricks. He'll have the floor.
Hi, good evening. Kathleen Bull, Acting Director of Pilgrim Senior Center for Senior Services. This is a bid for furniture for the Pilgrim Senior Center. We're asking for $24,940. Lowest bidder was WB Mason. They're going to assemble and install. The bid amount, when we initially went out to bid, I had some estimated number of furniture. We then finalized the floor plan. I'm happy to report we have a really busy pool and chess club. I went in there the other day and they were mobbed. So I want to make a little lounge area for them. So the initial amount in the bid, the initial quantities changed slightly from the initial specifications.
Thank you. That's really one of the points that I wanted to make sure was brought up this evening and have a little bit more information on this process. Full public transparency on items such as this. I saw that there were 9 bidders, and I can imagine that when it comes to something as complicated as furniture, with 9 different bidders and all of the different specifications, and then obviously going with the lowest qualified, but I'm sure that anyone who's been out there furniture shopping, they see all of those different options, all those different possibilities, and might be hard to pick and choose and then wind up just going on the lowest price. So I suppose I just wanted to pose the question for the purposes of this furniture, keeping in mind we're talking about, I don't need to tell you, we're talking about senior citizens. You're happy with the selection and the particular items that WB Mason is going to be providing as part of this bid?
Yeah, they were able to match all of our exact specifications except for 2 pieces of furniture, but they're so similar you can hardly tell a difference.
Well, that's wonderful. Really glad to hear, because it's certainly not an easy one to send out for bid when it's for these very particular purposes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any further questions from members of the council? Are there any questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Before I call for an end to this council, this committee, I want to just say thank you to the professionals and the directors on the city side. Serving as the chairman the last 4 years has been a great honor, and I've been privileged to work with each and every one of you. To my members on the council, the same. I welcome the conversation and the debates and the questions we brought up. Council President, thank you for entrusting these two gentlemen next to me and convincing them to serve on this committee. And I reserve the best for last. I want to thank Councilman Vincent Gebhardt, and I'd like to, Vinny Gebhardt, and I'd like to thank Councilman Bill Foley for being the utmost professionals and moving this city forward in many ways in a real awkward situation the last 4 years, post-pandemic, if you will. Started during a pandemic, moved it on. I was honored to serve with both of you, and I thank you so much. And with that said, the time is now... Oh, for crying out loud. Yep.
When are you leaving?
I know. Soon. Can you tell? May I have a motion on PCR 120-24?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
And with that, it is 6:13 p.m. and the Warwick Finance Committee is closed.
The next committee to meet is the Intergovernmental Committee, which will meet at 6:20. So we'll see you back here at 6:20.